May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts find favor with you, O Lord. Amen. Acceptance and inclusion are the themes that run through today's readings on this 11th Sunday of Pentecost. The bottom line is that we are all God's chosen people. We see it in the Old Testament reading in Isaiah, where it's written that it's righteousness and obedience that define who belongs to the Israelite community, and not race, not nationality, or any other category. And we find it in the second reading in Romans, where Paul writes that God's love and mercy are infinite, forever, and for all. No exceptions. And then we find it in today's gospel, in Matthew, where we're allowed a brief glimpse into the mind of Jesus, into the thinking of Jesus. There are two parts to this gospel reading. In the first part, Jesus is preaching to the crowd about true purity, which he says is a matter of the heart, rather than the ritualistic purity of religious law. And he's speaking about dietary law. And we see Jesus, the kind, the gentle teacher and rabbi, talking to the assembled crowd and to his disciples. He also knows the Pharisees are there, and the Pharisees are very eager to point the finger of heresy at Jesus. And he says, undeterred, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles and makes us impure. Rather, it's what comes out of our mouths, through our hearts, that can make us impure and defile us. What goes into the mouth is temporary. It soon leaves the body. But what comes out of our mouths has a greater impact, far more important. We all know the nursery rhyme, sticks and stones can break our bones, but names can never hurt us. And we all know that's not true. We all know that words can hurt. We all know the pain of weaponized words, and that pain can last a very long time. We know that. We've been on both sides of that. We've used words that have hurt people. We've seen the impact of that hurt and that harm. And we've been on the receiving end where words have hurt. And we know that that hurt can last a long time, even a lifetime. This is not a difficult lesson for us to understand and accept. First of all, because we're hearing it from Jesus, you know, the kind, gentle, patient teacher. But in addition, we know from our own personal experience that what he says makes sense. Lesson learned. In the second part of today's gospel, we see this teaching being tested. The scene is different, the tone is different, and we see a different Jesus. Jesus and his disciples are leaving the land of the Jews, and they're going to Tyre and Sidon, Gentile land, what today is in Lebanon. And they need some downtime. Jesus has been very busy preaching and teaching and healing. He's been constantly surrounded by large crowds. And he needs some peace and quiet. And he feels that he can find it in the land of the Gentiles, where he is not known. Almost immediately, however, he's assailed by a Canaanite woman, by a Gentile, and she starts shouting at him to cure her daughter, who is tormented by a demon. He tries to ignore her, but she persists. And furthermore, she knows who he is, referring to him as Lord, Son of David. Now, as this Gentile woman continues to shout and demand healing for her daughter, I think we can imagine how Christ is feeling. He is the Son of God, but he is also the Son of Mary, and therefore he can feel all human emotions, fatigue, frustration, even anger, crankiness. And so he is feeling these human feelings, and he says to her, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." In other words, you are not a sheep of my fold. You are not my responsibility. You are not my job. But this woman is not to be denied. She kneels down in front of him and continues to shout, asking, demanding that he cure her daughter. Well, at this point, his crankiness is turning to meanness. The words that defile. And then he says to her, "It is not fair to take the food from the children and throw it to the dogs." He has just called her a dog. He's insulted her. I think we know how we would feel if someone called us a dog. I know how I would feel. I'd get all huffy. Who are you calling a dog? But this woman ignores the insult. In fact, she takes the insult and she turns it to her advantage. And she says, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." She believes that in those crumbs there's enough healing and mercy to heal her daughter. And Jesus is confronted by this woman's great faith, this wall of faith. He can't get over it, he can't get under it, can't get through it. And he has to acknowledge it. And he has to rethink and expand his idea of what his mission is. And so he says to her, "Woman, great is your faith. It shall be as you wish." And he instantly cures her daughter. And that's the end of the gospel. I want an epilogue. I want to know what happens next. I want to know, who was this woman, this Canaanite woman, this Gentile? We as Gentiles owe this woman a great debt of gratitude, because thanks to her, we too have become the chosen people of God. Once again, God has chosen an outsider, someone on the margins of society, a woman, a Gentile, to deliver a new idea, the message of God's boundless and boundaryless love. So what are the lessons that we're to learn from this? I think there are two lessons. First of all, that God's love and mercy transcend all human boundaries of race, nationality, gender, sexual orientation, religion, any other man-made boundary. We as individuals and as a church are being challenged to live that truth. And it's not easy, especially when it takes us out of our comfort zone. That's why I'm so proud to be a member of First Lutheran. We at First Lutheran get it. We took that important step of becoming a member of a Reconciling in Christ congregation. Our church went through the process. We got a unanimous vote from the congregation and developed a mission statement affirming that we are accepting and inclusive of all God's children. We can be proud of that. And there's another lesson here, that we must keep our hearts and minds open to change. Just as Jesus was open to change. Change isn't easy, never easy, but it is inevitable. We know that from dealing with the pandemic and from the fallout from the pandemic, the economic downturn, the civil and social unrest. And now we face the great challenge of finding a new pastor. That's not easy. We don't know what God has in store for us as individuals or as a church, but we do have to keep our hearts and our minds open to whatever it is that God has in store for us. We have to be willing to hear, to listen to what it is. These are difficult days. So much is uncertain. So many more questions than answers. But there is one thing that we know for certain. One thing that we can be sure of, that we can cling to. That God is with us. God has this. God really has this. May He add His blessing. Amen.